Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello everyone and welcome to Set the Tape Rewind, whether you're a brand new or seasoned veteran of our past few shows. I'm Tony Black hosting this week and I'm joined this week by Steve Norman and podcaster Clara Cook as we discuss the BAFTAs, or British Oscars as we like to call them, and the unfortunate racial furore spiralling around Marvel's Black Panther. Talking TV, we confuse Steve utterly as we try and explain where the newly concluded first season of Star Trek Discovery fits in the franchise's canon before tackling Netflix's expensive new prestige sci-fi drama, Altered Carbon. Is it any good? We'll let you know. Finally, in our free play section, we're talking about podcasts and how they're beginning to be made for the TV and cinematic realm. Fail critics the movie? Don't bet against it, though you may be surprised to hear who plays Steve and Owen. Anyway, on with the show. Okay, so for our first topic this evening on our podcast, we're going to be talking about movies, as always, on Set the Tape Rewind. And we thought we'd start with, you know, the big hot potato. We're going to talk about the BAFTAs in a bit, briefly. But we thought we'd start with the big hot potato, which is Black Panther, which just come out. Marvel's brand new superhero movie, all about King T'Challa and the fictional realm of Wakanda. And obviously, it's gone down really well with critics, with a lot of fans, and it's been regarded as one of the best Marvel movies ever made. But it's causing a bit of a furore on the lovely internet. I say lovely in inverted commas, obviously. It's been a bit of a difficult subject for a lot of people, and there's been some quite disturbing things online. Firstly, Steve, you've seen it, haven't you? You've seen Black Panther.
I have, yes.
Did you like it?
I did. I just wanted to say that the names you are reading out there sound great in your Midlands accent. I mean, it really has some gravitas to the
Wakanda.
Yeah,
which is blatantly not going to be how it's supposed to be said. But there you go.
No, I thought it was great. I thought it was good fun. It was like a bit different to. But I think part of the thing was Marvel, the MCU, came out with a lot of good films straight off the bat. Kind of culminating with the end of Phase 1 in Avengers Assemble. And then some of them after that, they just got kind of a bit predictable and not boring, but they were just okay. And it seems like Marvel and Disney picked up on the reactions to this because they've kind of gone away from that again. I mean, Thor Ragnarok was great, fun and different, and so was this. So it looks like they're back on form ahead of Infinity Wars.
Yeah, it does seem that way. It's gone down well. Clara, have you seen it yet?
No, and I really am really looking forward to seeing it. I really want to, but I haven't seen it. Managed to get to the cinema yet?
I haven't yet either. I'm seeing it tomorrow.
So this firmly puts me in the nearest thing we have to an expert, which is always worrying.
Well, you can claim that one, Steve. You know, Black Panther expert, it's fine. You can probably say it properly as well, you know, instead of Wakanda, which is, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Clara, you follow things on the internet, you keep your, you know, as do we all, but have you been privy to some of the difficult conversations that people have been having over Black Panther and some of the worrying things that have been coming out?
So some of the stuff that's been happening on the internet is people have been tweeting hoaxes that they have gone to movie showings with family members or friends and that they've been racially abused. And when I say the people tweeting hoaxes say they've been racially abused, they say they've been racially abused by African-Americans who have been at Black Panther showings. And these are hoaxes, I would say, because the majority of the pictures that they use showing they've been abused are pictures of completely different people in completely different scenarios. So, you know, pictures of actors who've been beaten up in films or pictures of actual people who have been beaten up, but in news stories that are completely unconnected to this, like, movie. Do you see what I'm saying? So they are definitely probably hoaxes, and I would say most of them are probably Twitter trolls who are either trying to cause controversy for just controversy's sake, or they're trying to cause an argument, or try to upset people, or they actually are racist themselves and they don't like the idea of a film having a black cast, or a more diverse cast, or a whole film being centered around the black lead. So I would say that probably quite a lot of those people are probably, I would say, racist. It's basic racism, really. Yeah. And I think the thing is, at the end of the day, I mean, this is something we've seen before with the Ghostbusters that was released in 2016 with Leslie Jones, I think her name is it?
Leslie Jones.
Who was receiving a lot of abuse on Twitter. And some of it was actually racist, and she did come out and just say, like, I just starred in a movie, like this is ridiculous, I starred in a movie and I'm getting all this abuse and I don't deserve it. And I think that the more a certain demographic feel they're being pushed out of being represented on screen, the more they're going to maybe lash out. But the funny thing about it is they're not being pushed out of being shown on screen, because it's like white people on screen everywhere. So this is about telling a different story about people in an African culture that wasn't affected by colonialism.
And let's not sugarcoat this. This part of this is the alt-right agenda, which is rising now with the Trumpocalypse and all these things going on in the Western world. It's all part of this agenda to divide racial lines and all, you know, equality. It's happening on all fronts, really. And I think it's disgusting. You know, some of the things I've seen about people pretending to have been beaten up by gangs of black people who say you can't come into our cinema. I mean, it's insane. It's insane. It's disgusting. And it turns my stomach, to be honest, because what Black Panther is regardless of whether or not it's a watershed moment for race, you know, it sounds like it's a great film. You know, a great film with really good actors, a great director, and for people to be trying to hijack it, as usual, it's just another indication of the sorry state of our world right now. So it's a real shame, because I don't know if it's putting a cloud over the film, because I think the film's still doing well. I think it's still being well received. People are still going to see it. But why can't we just have one film that doesn't have to have a bunch of idiots trying to ruin it in some way? You know, it's sad. I think it's just sad.
You know, there's enough superhero movies about white guys who are superheroes. But this one's just, you know, the whole film is regardless of whether it's a good film or not, and it is a good film, it's just refreshing to see the whole thing done in that way. And I suppose if you even look back, Marvel themselves did this with the comic coming out when the character was originally created, and the Nation of Wakanda originally created. They tried doing it, or they did it back then as well. So it's not exactly anything new.
Exactly. It's, you know, it's just frustrating.
So a question I had was, I know that Blade was another superhero, a Marvel superhero, who is an African-American. And I wondered at the time, because I was too young to really remember this, but I wonder at the time when Blade came out, was there sort of like racism surrounding the release of that movie?
Well, I was 16, I think, when that came out. And as a kid, you know, I didn't notice, but I don't remember that back then.
I suppose the different thing with Blade is that, one, there wasn't this big cinematic universe of, you know, Marvel, MCU, loads of different films, so it wasn't kind of as all big, all encompassing thing. And Blade's kind of more of an anti-hero, really, isn't he? It's sort of a darker character, and you know, it's like a He's not a straight up good guy, is he, Blade?
No.
If you see what I mean, so it's a different kind of character. But I'm probably too young. I don't know when Blade was released, but
98. I think it was
98. I would have been 12, so I would have been in no way in any knowledge of anything like that happening, to be honest.
No, and I suppose we didn't have Twitter either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like we didn't have Twitter, so maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's the fact that people can feel like they can say whatever they want online without any ramifications.
I think that's exactly what it is. But yeah, anyway, let's hope Black Panther does well anyway, despite these idiots. And you can check out our review at www.setthetape.com. That's obviously the first obligatory website mention of many. By Ian Blackout, you can check out our review of the film right now. Speaking of films, obviously, we've had the BAFTAs, the British British Academy and Television Film Awards. Is that what it is? I feel like that's what it is. Does anyone know? I should have looked it up, really, shouldn't I? To be honest.
I think it is British Academy Film and TV.
Yeah, something like that? Okay, right.
I think so.
That one anyway. The British Oscars, basically. Let's call it that.
The loosest term of British in some cases as always.
We won't go through all of them, obviously, but the big ones that have drawn attention is... I've got to say, much as I'm glad it's won, outstanding British film, Three Billboards... is that really a British film? I know the guy who directed it is Irish, but is that really a British film? Three Billboards. I've got my doubts there.
No,
did it receive British funding?
Well, maybe. I don't know, but still, it just seems like a strange choice. You know, it does seem like a strange choice. It won Best Film as well, though. So it beat out Dunkirk, Call Me by Your Name, Darkest Hour, The Shape of Water. Have either of you seen Three Billboards at this stage?
I have not, no.
No.
No, me neither. So,
sorry.
No, it's fine. It's okay, Clara. It's fine. I haven't seen them either. But Frances McDormand won as well for best. I think she's going to win best actress at the Oscars, to be honest, from what I'm hearing, that she's pretty phenomenal. So I think, and obviously Gary Oldman won best actor for Darkest Hour, which again, he's predicted to get the Oscar. And I thought he was quite good as Churchill.
Yeah, can I ask a question, though?
Go on.
This is going to be kind of a controversial question, but can you win an Oscar for, like, or BAFTA for being best actor if, like, your face has been radically changed with makeup and stuff? I guess you can, because if you think about it, people do win awards like this for voice work as well as for being dressed up in prosthetics. But... I mean, was his face not changed enough so that he could still move his facial muscles and act? Because I guess it's body language, right, and voice as well. It just seems like he's kind of obscured from being himself, so I wonder how much of the acting he's really doing. Does that make sense?
No, it does. I think he did a fair bit of emoting, even despite the fake jowls and all the heavy makeup. I think he's the reason that Darkest Hour has gone down so well, because it's a decent enough film. It's a good film, but it's not a great film, and it doesn't really deserve to be up there as one of the great films. But his performance is pretty good. Whether it's as good as, you know, Daniel Kaluuya or Daniel Day-Lewis or, you know, or these guys, he's open to question, really. I'm not sure. So it's one of them. It, you know, presages the Oscars, which obviously we get next. I think it's next Sunday we get the Oscars. It's Sunday into Monday. But I'm sure we might well go into that in a few weeks when we come back. Okay, so TV, obviously, Clary. One of the main reasons we know each other is the main reason, I suppose, before is Star Trek, and obviously Discovery, season one of Star Trek Discovery, which we've talked a little bit about on the podcast before, has come to an end this last week, Yeah, it's let's talk a little bit about that, because it's a big moment, you know, Star Trek coming back on TV, and obviously it's been a pretty good season. Do you think it ended well?
Well, I'm kind of conflicted, partly because the inner Trekkie inside me like squealed like a little girl at the very last moment. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. For the very last moment of the last episode, I was like wee screaming with excitement. But at the same time, I did feel like they left a lot of loose ends to be tied up. Very quickly in the last episode, which is kind of a sign of writers scrabbling around, struggling to finish a story in a shorter space of time than they kind of maybe planned for. And I also feel like there hasn't been enough character development across the entire series. So I'm looking forward to that in season two, hopefully. But the production values are great. The acting's all really, really good. There's, you know, standout sort of lines of dialogue that are really good. And just, it's just a bit beautiful to look at, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's you know, they've put a lot of money into it. That's the good thing. They've thrown a fair bit of money at it instead of doing it on the cheap, which was always the fear that, you know, they'd try and economise and do a Star Trek series on the cheap, you know, even with all the cable money flying around. But no, they got it on a cable subscription channel. They loaded a lot of money up front. They will have made a lot of money back. So, you know, there's every chance, you know, the budget might well go up for season two. You never know. We might get even more good stuff. So yeah, it looks the part. Steve, you haven't. We talked a bit about it the other week, didn't we? But you haven't been keeping up with this one, I don't think, have you?
No, I've never been able to get into Star Trek. I mean, I've watched the first two episodes on Netflix yesterday, just so I can at least try and be familiar with what we're talking about. But I've never really been able to get into Star Trek, and I don't quite know why. But
well, it's, you know what's interesting, yeah, though, actually. As somebody who's like a lifelong Star Trek fan, Clara's pretty much the same. I think, well, you are the same, aren't you? You know, you watched it for years. We don't know what it's like to watch something, you know, like this without any pre-existing knowledge and all that kind of thing. So it's interesting to think. What did you think of the first two? As somebody who doesn't have really lots of Star Trek knowledge, who doesn't really love the show, as a piece of TV, what did you think of the first two episodes?
There's something in it. I mean, the production values are really good. It looks fantastic. And, yeah, like Clara said, the acting's good. But I think with me for Star Trek, it's because I like the J.J. Abrams film, the reboot. I like the films, or the first one, certainly, and they're kind of diminishing return since then. But I think that's because it was quite a good start point for somebody who's not a Star Trek fan to be introduced into the characters and the ideas of Star Trek and what it's all about. But I mean, obviously, being too young to have seen the original show when it was first released on TV, you know, there's so much Star Trek at history, I wouldn't even know where this one's starting off in amongst everything. You know, where's it set? Not where's it set. You know, what time is it set in relation to Kirk and Picard, who are the names that I know just from, you know, it being pop culture. Where does it all fit in amongst that? What, you know, what's the whole background to the actual situation at the start of the series? And it's just sort of not knowing all the, I suppose, lore of Star Trek that kind of perhaps puts me off getting into it now.
It is a pretty big mountain to climb, isn't it, Clara, I suppose, if you're coming into, yeah, something like this new. And just what I was just curious what you know, coming.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Into it, you know, if you found like you were confused or you didn't, or you weren't sure about you know, because it's interesting, they're going to have to pick up a lot of new viewers, you know. I mean, the last series was on TV over 10 years ago. It finished, you know, nearly 20 years ago it started.
And which one was that? Was that Enterprise?
That was Enterprise, which was a prequel in itself, so that had a lot of fan nods and winks.
That was with your man from Quantum Leap, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Scott Bakula.
Yeah. Scott Bakula.
So for myself and anybody else who's not kind of big Star Trek fan, where does this sit in relation to what I was saying earlier, like with in relation to Kirk and Picard and, you know, in terms of Star Trek timeline, where is this kind of, and where was Enterprise? Was that Enterprise, wasn't that right at the start of kind of them going into space? And
yeah, you had Enterprise was the last one they'd made until this one, but it was set beforehand. It was set at the very beginning. So before the 1960 show, everything else.
Yeah.
And this one's kind of set between that and the original series.
Right.
I suppose. But isn't it like 10 years? It's 10 years, isn't it, Clara, before Kirk and crew?
Yeah, so it's like 100 years after Enterprise, but it's like 10 years before Kirk is in command of the actual Enterprise, the ship. So it's I think it's set around the time where Spock is in space, but he's with Captain Pike instead of Captain Kirk. So this one, Spock's like really young, although we haven't seen him, but we've seen his father.
This is where it gets confusing, Steve.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it takes place in a separate universe to what these new films
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
And conceivably they could cast a new Spock and Kirk yeah. and McCoy, yeah. etc.
They could, but I'd be surprised if they do, really. Because if they do, the show becomes about them then. And I think that's the risk you have to take.
I reckon they're going to meet Captain Pike, but I reckon Spock will not be on the Enterprise because he hasn't qualified to be in space yet. And they'll meet Captain Pike, and then maybe they'll meet Number One.
Yeah.
You know, the female second in command.
I think so.
But I reckon Spock won't be there, or they'll be like, reference him. Like, maybe we'll see like the back of his head or something, but we won't actually. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they won't actually put him in the main story.
Steve, if you really want to find out more, go and look up something called The Cage, right?
Right.
The Cage was the original pilot that they shot for Star Trek in like 1965, I think it was. And that had Leonard Nimoy, but a completely different crew. And then they when they made the show, they changed things. They threw most of the new characters in there. So just go and look that up, all right?
Right.
If you've got like a spare like half an hour, just go and read up on that. But Discovery is set before all this. So it's kind of in that... There's a little sweet spot before the original series, which they complain. But it works, I think, overall. It takes a few liberties, but it's a good first season. But clearly, it doesn't necessarily like help to initiate new people. Clearly, you've got to know your Star Trek a little bit coming into it.
But is that the case with lots of other sci-fi? So, for example, I mean, would people say the same thing about Star Wars? Because I don't think they would about Star Wars, would they?
I think it depends how... I don't think it's just with sci-fi. I just think it's how much there is before it. Because you've already explained to me, this is coming in... It's a prequel, but it's not a prequel right at the beginning. It's a prequel that's a sequel to another prequel. And... There's so much Star Trek. So if there's something else with as much material out there as Star Trek, and then you're trying to jump in, you know, a point that's halfway or you know quite a way into what they've already put out. Star Wars, there's you know nine films, and they're quite clearly determined trilogy. So you could start with The Force Awakens. You could have got into Star Wars at The Force Awakens, watched that and The Last Jedi, and then gone back and watched the rest. Or, you know, if you're a bit older, you could have started with The Phantom Menace and you probably would have never watched Star Wars again. but if you did, you could have watched The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, and then gone back to the original trilogy. But there's so much Star Trek, and I think that's what kind of puts me off. It's like, am I going to understand what on earth is going on? Because there's so much Star Trek that's come before this.
Yeah.
Like, not just like the whole thing of Kirk and Spock and the Enterprise, but, you know, the whole the whole thing of the Federation and how did it all get started and everything like that. It's like, am I really going to understand what's going on if I come in at the start of a new series of Discovery?
It's pretty dense.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
It is dense.
And if there was something, you know, if Game of Thrones was 50 years old with, you know, 20 odd seasons and then three different spin-off shows, and they wanted me to start watching in 2018 with a fourth spin-off show, I'd probably be like, you know what, no.
yeah, it's true. It's a good point. Yeah, you'd be like, I haven't got real. No, thanks. No, I can't do it. No, fair enough. But yeah, it'll be back next year. So, you know, you never know. They might make it a bit more accessible. Speaking of accessible, one of the big new shows on Netflix lately has been Altered Carbon, which was based on a book written about 10 years ago. Very Blade Runner dystopian future kind of story, which has gone down pretty well. And obviously has, I think it's been reported as being one of the biggest budget TV series ever. Like, the money is all there on the screen. Either of you watched this one? Because I've watched the first episodes, and it's pretty shiny and new.
I've not seen it yet. I will watch it, but I've not got round to it yet.
So I watched the first three episodes so far, and I love it. I love it. I do think that if you don't pay attention closely enough to the actual storyline, it is kind of hard to follow. Like, we're talking about hard to follow television. I do think there is something a little bit hard to follow about Altered Carbon because of the fact that it's a completely, like, you know, Steve was saying about Star Trek, it's this completely fleshed out world that's kind of, you don't start at the beginning anywhere, you're kind of thrust straight into the middle of it. If you see what I'm saying, you're straight into the action, straight into the world that's already established. But it's just really well fleshed out. You know, they just the terminology, the fact that they're using different words for different things. You know, your sleeve, which basically means your physical body. I think they call it your deck, which is the actual consciousness, which is stored on like a little disc that's in the back of your neck. The idea that he's been several different people. Well, he's the same person, but he's been several different bodies. He's changed, like, ethnic background. He's changed age, all that kind of thing. The idea that, like, different people can be in different gendered bodies. I think the whole thing's really fascinating. And it just looks beautiful. It really looks amazing, I think. So it's very violent, though. I have to say, I did struggle with some of the violence. I thought it was a tad too physically bloody for my tastes, really.
Yeah, it is quite in your face with the violence, and it's. I mean, I'm admittedly wasn't sure it's for me, because I'm not a big fan of all this Blade Runner kind of stuff. Really, I'm not a big fan of Blade Runner, to be fair. So it doesn't tick all my boxes, but I might stick with it because it has got a really interesting mythology behind it. It's got a lot of big ideas, like you've mentioned, Clara. So, and it looks good. So it could go places, really. Check that out, guys, if you haven't already. And a review of the score by Jeff Russo will be up on www.setthetape.com, because it's got some good music going on. So, keep an eye out for that as well. All right, free play then. Our final section. We're going to have a little chat this week. We're going back to podcasts. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but sort of links to TV as well, because they've announced this week that... the quite successful podcast Pod Save America, which admittedly I haven't listened to, but I have heard about, I do know about, is being adapted into a HBO TV series. So I thought it might be quite interesting to have a little chat about this phenomenon, because, you know, this isn't the first one that's been done. You know, recently we had Law, Aaron Mankey's stories about horror and weird tales adapted into a 6-part anthology series for Amazon. And, you know, I think they're adapting Welcome to Night Vale even as a film or maybe a TV series. So, you know, I mean, what do we think about this? Obviously, you know, we're doing a podcast right now. We're all podcasters. We've done it for years. Steve's been doing it since he was 3. it's a big new thing, this, isn't it? They seem to be tapping in, don't they, to podcasts as the new medium to get material.
Well, I mean, it's, I suppose, books... comics, TV shows and novels, etc., radio shows have all been used as, you know, inspiration or whatever to make other types of media. Some podcasts probably lend themselves quite well to to that kind of thing, whether it's a, you know, fictional or non-fictional type thing, podcasts probably do lend themselves quite well to it.
Yeah.
None of the ones I particularly listen to would would work. So I mostly just listen to sports podcasts, so I don't think any of those are particularly transposed to TV or film well. But, you know, you could see where some would get that idea from, and, you know, be able to make the jump from podcast to TV show or film.
I'm looking forward to Quickly Kevin, the TV series, Steve.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Well, I mean, I think, what do you think, Clara? Have you got any thoughts about a podcast that would make a good TV series? Is there anything to leap out at you that you listen to that might fit that mould?
Well, the obvious ones, I think, would be sort of like true crime, like Serial, or something like This American Life, which sort of analyses, you know, sort of sociological, political, or sort of just personal histories of people living in the US or whatever, or in different parts of the world. So like documentary podcasts would make good documentary series, I think. The problem is that I never used to watch, and I even to this day don't really watch true crime documentary series, but I'll listen to a true crime podcast. And I don't know why I would listen to a podcast rather than watch a true crime documentary. I mean, the documentaries that I watch on Netflix normally are documentaries, very upsetting documentaries about social injustices. And then I'll like feel really stressed for the next week and upset and everything because I've watched this documentary series about corruption in the Catholic Church or something. But the podcast, like, for instance, I probably would more likely listen to Serial than watch a TV series of Serial, because I think sometimes I find watching things more upsetting than I find listening to things, or I find watching things more emotionally affecting than listening to things. So I used to listen to Law. I still listen to Law. I really enjoy it. And sometimes it's a bit creepy, but I didn't find it scary until I watched a TV series. And then, you know, I was curled up on the couch with my head behind a pillow saying, oh, I don't want to watch this. I did watch it, obviously. I'm referring to the episode where they do, they do frontal lobotomies. And I think I'd listened to that episode as a podcast, and I hadn't found it as distressing as watching it. So I think sometimes you can get away with more difficult content in a podcast than you can maybe on television. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's the visual. It's the visual element, obviously, isn't it? It's being able to see something, you know, as opposed to hearing it is one thing. Actually having it in your face is another, really. yeah, it's just interesting how they're turning to podcasts now. Probably because they're cheaper, in fact. You know, trying to get a book, you know, adapt a book, you've got to pay the rights for the book, things like that. It's still an emerging area in terms of, you know, rights and all this kind of thing. It's a funny one. It makes you wonder if it's a much cheaper way of them getting content, you know, and turning it into either dramatic series or a, you know, documentary series or anything like that. And I mean, I think it's just going to keep growing this. I really do.
Surely it's a way of podcasters also making a living, because, as we well know, maybe not as much in the US as in the UK, but I think still the same in the US, podcasters don't really make any money from podcasting, and you spend a considerable amount of time and effort and hours and technology making podcasts without a huge amount of financial return.
Tell me about it.
Law. You both know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So for Law, the guy who does Law, Aaron
Mankey.
Mankey, thank you. I'd imagine that a TV series on Amazon is, I hope he's making some money from it. I'd imagine that would help, you know, with some of the labor that he's done over all these years in making the podcast.
Yeah.
So I can see how it would be desirable for podcasters.
Yeah, so, Steve, what do we think? Failed Critics, the movie. I think.
Yeah. I'd watch it.
Hey?
Yeah, I mean, who's playing me?
it depends on who you want to play you and who is more likely to play you.
The money I've made from podcasts, I'll have to play myself.
I was going to say Keith Jegwin, but then I realised he's dead, so we can't have him.
No.
Les
Dennis.
Les Dennis. Who'd play Owen? We need the worst Birmingham-based actor, don't we? I think. Jasper or the worst Carrot. Actor from Dudley. Jasper Carrot. Les Dennis and Jasper Carrot bring you Fail Critics, the movie. I think it's got to be done.
Would you just film it like in a pub or something? Or like would it just be like a scene? It sounds like a situation comedy. I reckon you guys could do
this. It does actually, yeah. With those two. I think we need to get onto the BBC about this, Steve. It's got to be better than, like, you know, My Family, if that's still... Is that still even going, My Family? I don't even know
it
if that's still going.
Probably can't be, surely.
Another one bites the dust then, but you can find much more content from Set the Tape with all of our articles, features and reviews related to what we've discussed on our website, www.setthetape.com, and don't forget to follow us on Facebook by typing in Set the Tape in the search bar, and we're at Set the Tape on Twitter as well. Thanks if you downloaded or you're streaming this week's episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks, so until then, live long and prosper.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.